Welcome to Sola Scriptura, the preaching ministry of Beaverton Grace Bible Church, where our motto is the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Our focus is on the glory of our sovereign God through the systematic verse-by-verse preaching of the Holy Scriptures for the sanctification of the saint and the salvation of the sinner. Our mission is to declare the narrow path of Jesus Christ in a broad path world. And our invitation is to put on the full armor of God and join us in the gospel battle.
Our fallen post-Christian culture must be introduced to their holy Creator God. It is our evangelistic task to bring sinners to a saving knowledge of their Creator. When we share our faith, we must remember that God is not on trial. It is the sinful creature of man that is on trial before his Creator. Listen in now as we consider our holy Creator God in our continuing series, Tools for Evangelism. Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, the two founders of the Methodist movement, which was a radical gospel movement, you'll recall, as John Wesley was a field preacher, but they put him out of the churches of his age, for the proper Christianity of his age wouldn't hear the gospel. They wouldn't have it. And so he was put out of the church as it was, and ultimately put out of England for the most part, and came over to America, but he preached the gospel in fields where apples and other things were thrown at him, and he praised God for it, for he knew then that there was conviction upon souls. But Charles Wesley, brother of John, wrote this great hymn that most of you are aware of, but perhaps if I read it to you, you'll hear the words and they'll have greater impact. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Has he not redeemed your soul from hell? Should we not cry out to God, as it were, that I would have a thousand tongues to praise the great Redeemer? The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. In His grace, He has triumphed over sin and death. Would I not sing it? Would I not tell it? My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim. Should I not proclaim it? Oh Lord, assist me that I would proclaim it. To spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. Would we withhold Him from sinners perishing into an eternal damnation? He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf. His praise, ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come and leap, ye lame, for joy. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever give by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and in heaven. May it be so, dear saints of God, and may we sing it as a prayer every time we sing it, and may we live it then and not be hypocrites living out that plea. The first major point in our message to a lost world, a world in a post-Christian era, a world that does not know the one true God, a world that defines God in a multitude of ways and thinks that that is the epitome of religiosity. The broader a definition you can blanket the Lord with, the more truly religious you are in our era. They need to be introduced to the one true God. Even as Paul was in the Athenian square and he began with their unknown God statue and declared to them the one true holy Creator God, we must begin in our fallen culture at square one. First base. The holy Creator God. They need to be introduced to Him. He who in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We must start right there, introducing them to their Creator. You are a creature before a holy God. Behold your God. He created you and everything that we see and know in creation. We are creatures and therefore are accountable to Him. Psalm 14:1 boldly declares that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. We need to be willing to bring the message to mankind that it is the height of foolishness, it is the height of folly to deny your Creator God. To look out into space and into the world and into the microcosm within a drop of water and see design at every level. Infinite design. Beyond our understanding, try as we might, and say that there is not a Creator who with infinite wisdom designed and created all that we see is the height of folly. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For a father, a mother, to look at the child that came from their flesh, a mixture of their DNA, to look at that child, to watch that child develop and learn, grow in wisdom and stature and ability to behold this miracle of life, life producing life, and to deny a holy Creator God, for a man or woman to look in the mirror and see themselves created in the image of God and to deny their holy Creator God, the height, the pinnacle of God's creation, mankind, to deny the Lord in light of the witness of mankind. We are a witness of God's creative act. The atheistic evolutionists declare that we are indeed a phenomenon of chaos and chance. That behold, the universe became conscious and humanity. What a miracle of nature. And the Lord says that is utter foolishness. And by the way, He also says, get your own dirt. Where did the dirt come from? Where did anything come from? Evolution gives no justification for the existence of anything. It's not a sufficient cosmology. You know, that's not cosmetology, ladies. Cosmology. It's not a sufficient explanation of where everything came from. The only sufficient explanation is our Lord. We've not finished with Psalm 14:1. Why does the fool say in his heart, there is no God? They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good, says the psalmist. Why do we deny Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Because we are corrupt. And to admit that there's a Creator God is to admit that we are accountable to Him and we are in rebellion against the Creator. We want to be our own gods and go our own way and recreate ourselves according to our own sinful desires and not live the way the Lord, our Creator, designed us and commands that we should live. In Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. His creation reveals His glory everywhere at all times, day and night. There is no place where God's creation is not witnessing God the Creator. It speaks loud. It speaks clear. I've told you before of the time I got on a plane and this young lady sat down next to me and we took off and the sun was setting outside the plane and I quoted Psalm 19, 1-4. And she says, wow, that's beautiful. What is it? And I said, well, it's the Bible. Psalm 19, verses 1-4. And that's what we're seeing outside the window, is the glory of God in creation. And I started there and shared the gospel with her. And she was amazingly open and broken ultimately, and yet pressed on without repentance, at least at that time. But the Lord used that witness, starting with a holy Creator God. She beheld it, and then she heard it. And she was convicted of it. And she visibly felt the weight of her sin as we moved on to that, her accountability to a holy Creator God. And I pray that one day we'll see her in the kingdom of God. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord," Isaiah 45:18, "thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it," listen here, "who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." The Lord did not create the heavens and the earth and humanity in it in vain. He created it to be inhabited, and chiefly to be inhabited by mankind, created in His own image, says Genesis 1:26. "Let us make man in our image." God the Father speaking with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. "Let us make man in our image." And so what do we learn in that? That God is the Creator, oh certainly, but that He did not create all that is, and humanity chiefly, in vain. And that stands against the atheistic worldview, the evolutionary worldview, that ultimately says that we are purposeless. If you came from chance and chaos, there's no purpose there. You're but chance. You have no real purpose. You have no eternal soul. When you die as a dog, and you go back to dust, and that's it. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But with the Lord, the true cosmology, God our Creator, we find that we are purposed, that it is not in vain that we have been created. And that gives great joy. The funny thing is, as you witness to atheists, as you witness to agnostics who build their agnosticism on atheistic evolution, even if they don't claim to be atheists, you'll find that they live as if their life has a purpose. They live as if their life has a reason. They act like there's a reason to get up tomorrow. And yet, their foundational worldview denies it. And you should use that against them. That you would reason from their own life. Your own life is a testimony against your worldview. Your life tells me that there is a God, and that you are created, and that there's eternity in your heart. You must repent and come unto His Son, Christ Jesus. The Lord did not create it in vain, but to be inhabited. Romans 1:18, if you'll turn over there, please. Romans 1:18. "The Lord judges all men who deny Him as their Creator." Romans 1:18 will declare this. We should be using these Scriptures. This is not just background information. These are your tools. The workbooks that we will again make available, some of you already have them. These workbooks contain all of these. In the back of the workbook is a map system so you can map through your Bible from Scripture to Scripture so you can easily take people from Scripture to Scripture, truth to truth. So you will have in your hand a ready tool, sharpened, and then you can go beyond that and begin to memorize them and hide them in your heart so you always have the tool in your heart and in your head ready for every occasion the Lord would give. Romans 1:18 through 22, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." What truth do they suppress? "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Oh, how very useful this Scripture is. As you speak to a college-educated America, educated in college in the atheistic evolution that denies the holy Creator God. Take them to this Scripture and declare it with boldness, as the Apostle Paul said we ought, that you know there's a holy Creator God, and yet you have suppressed that truth in unrighteousness. It is unrighteousness, it is sin that moves you to suppress it. The witness of creation is around you, and you see the stamp of the Creator, and you have denied it out of sin, and you are already held accountable for that suppression of truth and unrighteousness. It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Even now, you're already accountable. Why? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Every man, every woman, every place, He has shown it to them. For the heavens declare His glory, and the firmament shows His handiwork, and we are accountable. Hold them accountable, dear brothers, dear sisters. They need to know that they are. It's not really you. You're making them aware that God holds them accountable. The agnostic likes to hide behind agnosticism. I'm not saying there isn't a God. I'm just saying you can't prove there's a God. It's a weak position. They're not bold enough to be atheists, nor are they honest enough to bend their knee before the Creator. Let's declare the truth to set them free. Verse 20, for since creation, the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Remove the atheist, the agnostic's excuse. They're without excuse. Whether they think they have one or not, they have not an excuse before their holy Creator God. We must bring them the message. It's written for that purpose. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. Now some of you that have not yet gone boldly onto the gospel battlefield may think, if I share that scripture, I'm going to get hit. If I boldly declare that truth, they're going to slam the door in my face, call the police, or maybe run back for a gun and come out after me. I don't know. And as a rule, let me just say that's not true. It's exactly the opposite. As a rule, when you have prayed up, when you have put on the full armor of God and you actually go out and apply the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, this very text, which I've had occasion to apply hundreds of times, they receive it humbly. It does its work in their hearts. Now again, as to whether they repent at that moment or not, that's up to God's sovereign hand through His Holy Spirit in their heart. But you have given the Word, you have taken the sword and sliced deep, that it might do its work in their heart. Let us be faithful to do so. And did you hear me? I said faithful. That's not a nonsense word. That means full of faith. To do that which the Lord commands us to do. To wield the sword of God effectively. That they might know they're without excuse. They're already held accountable. Hebrews 11:3. Do you want a good explanation for creation? Do you want a good understanding of where everything came from? Hebrews 11:3 provides it for us. It says there, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And I've had many discussions with atheistic evolutionists who say, by faith, aha, see, it's all just faith, it's blind faith. I say, no, not blind faith, intelligent faith. Everywhere you look, you see design. For instance, go into downtown Portland and what do you see? A beautiful statue. There it is. It clearly shows design. It didn't fall out of the sky. It's not natural. And so there it is. Would anyone ever say, wow, this is amazing. It just fell out of the sky like that, right here in the midst of Portland. You know, it could have fallen out in the middle of the woods and no one would have ever known it. But this is just amazing. It fell right in the middle of the courtyard in Portland. And it missed the cars and the buildings. And what would they say about such a person? He's a lunatic. What's wrong with him? Why can't they see what is obvious? This is design. You may not like the design. You may have no idea what the design, you know, is supposed to depict, but it has design. That's quite evident. Any fool can tell you that. And yet, we'll go to the tree next to the statue that's some ridiculous piece of artwork. We'll go to the tree, and that's truly beautiful. We enjoy its shade, the birds nest in it. We chop it up and make wood out of it to burn in our fireplace to cook supper. And we see that tree and we think, wow, that's a beautiful example of happenstance, chance, chaos, and eons of time coming together to create that life that creates life. When those little helicopters, we call them, come down and plant themselves in the ground and, oh, a little seedling, and another tree, amazing miracle of evolution. No, it's an amazing miracle of God. And it declares the glory of God on every level, just looking at the whole tree, or looking at a single leaf, or looking at a single cell in that tree. It declares the glory of God. It demands a designer. And we're so foolish as to say there isn't one. Infinite design of vast proportions. The piece of junk next to it, made by the artiste, has nothing in comparison when you consider the depth and the width and the height of the design. And so indeed, it is foolishness and it is faith. Faith that makes a person an evolutionist. It is faith that makes a person an atheist or an agnostic. It's not fact. It's faith. And so don't shy away from faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's good science, folks. Atheistic evolution, that's bad science. They can't actually explain the mechanism that even created matter. Where did matter come from? We don't actually know. That's still a big, deep, dark secret. We don't know where matter came from. We can guess, and here's a guess, and here's a guess, and here's a guess, and they all disagree with one another, but we don't know where it came from. And then, what took matter into the realm of life? Now that one, hey, again, we can give you some ideas and such, we can talk about a primordial soup, and maybe a lightning flash, and what have you, but it's all theory and conjecture, and it takes a whole great big helping of faith to swallow. If you go back and you read Darwin's Theory of Evolution of the Species, you'll find immense faith in his book. For he declares right within it that the vast number of missing transitional species is a fairly massive problem. Nevertheless, we'll proceed and trust that future generations will fill in those gaps. Gaps! How about one? How about a dozen? And there should be millions, even billions, of transitional species. And so by faith, yes, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Don't back down from your faith. Your faith is built on fact. This is logic. This is scientific even. God, outside of space and time and matter, holy creator God, always existed, not a created being. He spoke everything that we see into being. He did not use anything. The things which were seen were not made of things which are visible, but His spoken Word. Now that is actually a logical explanation for the phenomenon of creation that we see, where the atheists are left without logic and truly blind faith. Let's stand firm there and bold there and declare the truth of Hebrews 11:3. It's not a matter of we have faith and they have fact. It's a matter of which facts and how factual are they and which faith and how much faith does it take to believe those facts. Stand on design, demanding an infinitely powerful, infinitely wise designer because it's everywhere. And the Lord says they know it, but they've suppressed it. And then declare to them the true faith about the true designer who created everything that we see from nothing. which is visible. And that is a good explanation for the cosmos.
The evidence for intelligent design is everywhere. Join us next time as we look to the scriptures again to learn how to introduce men and women and boys and girls to the all-intelligent, all-powerful, holy Creator God in the continuing series, Tools for Evangelism.
Thank you for joining us on Sola Scriptura. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk in the light of His Word. For more information, you can reach the ministry by dialing 503-645-7471 or visit us online at beavertongracebible.org. Once again, that's 503-645-7471 or online at beavertongracebible.org.